I was excited. I felt like I was ready for the moment.
Stafford's looking his way immediately, and there it is.
They did a phenomenal job at helping me get adjusted.
Beckham back in there. Deep shot, middle of the field. Beckham was nowhere close. It is Jimmy Ward. Picks off Matthew Stafford.
Long punt. Shake it off, kind of, and just keep playing ball.
He just stops on the route.
They just outplayed us. It just wasn't our night. Get some rest, lick your wounds, and you keep moving.
Welcome to NFL Live, presented by KFC. And Monday Night Football didn't exactly go how we thought it would go. Is the NFL curse alive, guys? We all picked Rams. Oh, no. Hey, I picked them, too. Welcome to NFL Live. You see them right here. Mina Kimes, Marcus Spears, Ryan Clark, and Dan Orlovsky. Coming later, the reasons the Patriots can win the Super Bowl. But let's get back to Monday Night Football, where Odell Beckham Jr. made his debut for the Rams. And that's what we focus on to begin. OBJ finished the game with two catches for 18 yards, three targets, and a quiet L.A. debut. And in his first game, he only played 15 snaps with four coming after the half. He ran a total of 10 routes. When he was on the field, OBJ's presence caused attention. Almost the offense averaged six more yards per play with him on the field versus off, so that's important. But when he was the target, which was only three times, OBJ and Matt Stafford connected twice, resulting in 18 yards and then the interception, of course. Less than a week, one game in, there's still a lot of time for evolution. They said that they really only had a chance to throw a couple of routes even in practice. So not a whole lot expected there. But, Dan, what did you see from this Rams offense with Beckham in it for the first time?
I think the big play is the interception. That first interception, number one, it's 100% on the quarterback. It's totally his fault. Number two, he's 100% throwing that ball because it's Odell Beckham Jr. And that was my fear in the conversation we had yesterday, trying to force him the football. Again, this is not an Odell problem. This is 100% Matthew Stafford, because I have high level of confidence thinking he ain't throwing this ball if it's Cooper Kupp, and he's not throwing that ball if it was at Robert Woods. So I think it's one of those situations you realize, okay, don't do that. That's a stupid play, and you move on.
I think, though, people often forget we are also fans of the game, too. And when you're not playing on a team with Odell Beckham Jr., you still remember that catch in primetime against the Dallas Cowboys, and you remember all the different things that he's done. And that's the reason you want dudes like that on your team. And obviously that play didn't work out, but there's going to be a play where he has one-on-one coverage where he should throw it to Odell Beckham Jr., and he will learn that. This dude played with Calvin Johnson, so he knows what it's like to have an elite guy out there.
First of all, I want a clip of Dan saying that's 100% on the quarterback, because
he's never said it was
like a historic moment in NFL Live history.
Honestly, I had to check. I had to make sure we weren't in the Twilight Zone. I'm still not totally sure.
I love it, Dan. You're growing,
bro. It's beautiful.
Dan, how do you feel about that?
It's the first time for everything.
All right. Well, but how about
you? And another thing is, too, though, he talked about someone that he could text, and that way he could be like, hey, Matt.
Hey, man, I'm so sorry about that.
When I go on the show, dog, I'm going to say this on you.
Also,
I don't mean it.
I do that joke with
DBs. I don't mean it.
He checked the Rams schedule. He's like, all right, he's not going to be watching right now. Let's get back to the rest of the game, because the OBJ part of the story was only a small portion. Let's talk about the Rams defense.
It looks like it actually.
How did Shanahan get the best of him last night?
Well, we always talk about Kyle Shanahan play calling, right? And as a defensive lineman, I'm looking at the game, I'm like, damn, he tests his techniques.
You said the D word, I'm actually shocked.
Yeah, he tests edges. He out leverages you before they snap the ball. It's all of those things. But really watching that game, if you a football fan, it was a bludgeoning. That's what it really boiled down to. And football still comes back to this in context. Like, big people moving big people. And there's plays when Trent Williams has a one-on-one block and he turns his defensive lineman and knocks him to the ground. There are plays when Juszczyk comes across the line of scrimmage. Interior bump on Von Miller. Kittle still runs his feet and pancakes him. A physical run game. The running backs were looking for contact. It wasn't to avoid it. And if you looked at the game and you looked on the sideline at Kyle Shanahan, you knew what it was about to be. Because his mindset was like, look, we are about to dominate these dudes at the line of scrimmage. I will use a lot of other words because I was using them last night. And every time, the cold tub in the Rams facility is full. Yeah. Every player on that team was in the cold tub and hot tub doing hot and cold contracts.
They're like warming it up because there's so many people in there. Mina.
Well, but you're right. It's about big people moving people and other big people, and it's about matchups.
Yes.
And I think the Niners did an excellent job of identifying what the weaknesses were with the Rams' defense by identifying what their strengths were, which is the Rams are good at two things, rushing the passer and Jalen Ramsey.
those are the two things that they excel at, the existence
of Jalen Ramsey, and Kyle Shanahan did a great job of avoiding both those things. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo was getting that ball out quick, 2.3 seconds, basically neutralizing the pass rush, and they were throwing at not Jalen Ramsey, not just not throwing at not Jalen Ramsey, but throwing at the linebackers all game long. I think about half of the targets were at the linebackers. And if I'm another team watching this game, you can't do everything the Niners do. You don't have a Deebo Samuel, but you can target those linebackers because that's the weakness of this Rams defense.
I just was figuring out where the hell it been.
Well, I think what happens is that styles make fights, though, right? It helps that when one team's weakness is your strength, when it's the thing that you can actually do well, or it keeps you from having to try to do something that's really outside of your box. If you're playing a team that is great at defending the run and that's great that in defending inside the numbers, and now Jimmy Garoppolo has to go outside the numbers, then guess what, guys? You're crap out of luck.
Different game.
But when you're playing against the Los Angeles Rams and what they do well plays right into your hands, that's how you win. That's why when you look at the records of Sean McVay versus the other teams in the NFC West, and then you look at his record versus Kyle Shanahan, it is what it is.
Jimmy Garoppolo and Russell Wilson, their heat maps are like exactly opposite, which is your point. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, heat maps, always fun. Dan, let's talk about the Rams offense. They do have a bye week coming up, so they've got some time to fix some things. What should they fix in this time they have?
What they've gotten exposed with? I think that the last 2 weeks, the Rams offense has gotten exposed, at least a very specific part of their offense, and it's the interior of their offensive line. Talked a really big part of this season was how much they spend in empty and five-man protection. Well, they played against Tennessee and San Francisco and they got whooped interior of their offensive line. I think they really have to focus on putting Matthew Stafford under center, because when they put him under center, it protects the weakest part of their offense when play action pass, which is the interior of their offensive line. Those guys are getting pushed back into the pocket way too much, and Matthew Stafford is so reliant on that protection in that empty world. It's not good enough right now. We often talk about play action pass and we go, well, it's to help the quarterback. I think in this case, it's really to help the interior of the offensive line. Play action, move the launch point of the quarterback, get him outside of the pocket. He sees things clearly, but more importantly, it protects the greatest weakness of this football team right now, which is the interior of that offensive line. It forces those defensive linemen to move. They don't know where the quarterback's going to be. It allows those guys to work in unison a little bit more in their play action pass. This makes me feel a lot like Tampa Bay last year, where we were like, you got to stop doing this.
You know what it is, though? You know, just like you, y'all fall in love with these passers. And when you see Matthew Stafford, do a Dan Olaski. And when you see Matthew Stafford, when you see Matt empty, and he gets it here, and he goes, and he's here. You fall in love with all that stuff. And Sean McVay has been so excited about this new toy that he's gotten away from the play action pass and moving. He's gotten away from getting outside the pocket.
He wants you to say run the ball.
Dude, they fell behind by like three.
It's not just about the run. Right. Now they do have to run the football, because when you go back to when the team was good, Marcus, they ran the ball. But Todd Gurley's not showing up.
Right.
It's Henderson. It's Michelle. Yeah. They need to get Matthew Stafford outside the pocket and stop caring that he's so good at this and he could throw six balls a game that nobody else can.
But my point is, it's not so for Matthew Stafford. I think it's really for the interior of their offensive line.
Will you please say that they should –
Yeah, you want to run the football. Welcome to any level of football.
Thank you.
But that being said, because I think true reality is this. They're going to play interior defensive lines like Dallas, who's moving people around that is good. Like Green Bay, whose interior line is doing
Danny
a good
Clark,
job. Tampa Bay.
You've got to make sure you protect your weakness. There also is a consistency with the teams that are playing well.
What's that, Marcus?
They run in the rock.
Oh, gosh. Yep.
There we go.
There's a consistency with it.
Either way, a lot's going to be decided with the NFC West. The Rams head into the bye week. The Cardinals have an 83% chance to win the division. They face the Seahawks on Sunday. Glad you're with us here on NFL Live. Hey, Patrick Mahomes bounced back in a big way on Sunday night with his third career game, throwing for 400 yards and 5 touchdowns. Read and react around the league with some of the latest that you need to know. And that what Mahomes did tied Peyton Manning, Dan Marino, and Joe Montana for the most such games in NFL history. We kept saying you really can't count the Chiefs out, right, because they have Patrick Mahomes. So there you go. But they bounced back, and you saw Mahomes Mahomes be a big part of that story. But how about the Chiefs' defense? They held the Raiders to just 14 points. How'd they do it, Marcus?
Which was phenomenal. One, they tackled really well, and then they got those opportunistic turnovers to get the ball back in Patrick Mahomes' hands. And that is the key for this defense. They are not going to consistently stop teams on methodical drives. They are going to have to get teams to third down and hopefully get some rush and create turnovers. And that's what they were able to do against the Rams. I mean, the Raiders. When you look at the Kansas City Chiefs now, and we having this question, are they rounding in the form? And we look at that holistically as an offense. The defense looked a lot like they looked when they were on Super Bowl runs. Nothing about them jumped off the screen outside of Chris Jones and Tyrann Mathieu. And that was the case in this game. You saw Chris Jones getting pressure, Tyrann Mathieu getting his hands on the ball, and Tyrann actually dropped another one that he almost had another opportunity to get another takeaway.
All right, they got the Cowboys. By the way, thanks to that win, the Chiefs take over first place in the AFC West for the first time this season. It just took till week 10, right?
Week 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get to the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. He returned to the field after missing a week on the COVID list. RC, Rodgers got the win. It was really the defense that shined, right? How important is this Packers defense if Rodgers wants to get back to the Super Bowl?
I mean, listen, this Packers defense is like your shoes. It's still in the stinking.
Sparkly.
No, look at what the Packers have done over the last 3 weeks against Kyler Murray, against Patrick Mahomes, and now Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. They've gotten better each and every week under new defense coordinator Joe Barry. They found ways to rush the passer. They have two young backers that are playing sideline to sideline football, and they grab guys off the streets that have become very good players on the outside as corners, along with Eric Stokes and Chris and Kevin King. When you think about this team rounding into form, getting some of their star players healthy as the season finishes, we go, you know what? We thought Aaron Rodgers needed more weapons. Maybe he just needs this defense to get over the hump.
Yeah, and if you take that line of thinking, then maybe all these defensive guys that the Packers kept drafting and getting, like, maybe they were onto something.
Maybe they were onto something.
Well, now Aaron Rodgers is part of the front office, so it doesn't matter. All right, let's check in with the Chargers for a minute here. L.A. has lost three of their last four games. Mina, what's going on with Justin Herbert and the Chargers?
Man, Justin Herbert has one of the strongest arms in the NFL. But at the moment, he ranks 29th in air yards per attempt. That is below Jimmy Garoppolo, which is not a sentence I ever wanted to say. Now, look, to be fair, some of that has to do with the way defenses are playing with playing them. Some of that has to do with the Chargers compensating for issues with the offensive line, leaning on quick game. But it has got to change because Los Angeles, you have got a Lamborghini under center, and you are driving him like a Prius. And that's no shade to Prius owners. I used to drive a Prius. It's a great vehicle. Come on, you got to go faster than that. You got to push the ball down the field.
Prius, Lamborghini. I've never driven. Have you driven a Lamborghini?
Of course not.
Yeah, yeah, me either. All right, I wonder if anyone in here has. Dan might
to work
say
today.
He had.
Sure.
Yeah, I knew that was coming. All right, to another sophomore quarterback, despite being blitzed at the third highest rate of his season, Jalen Hurts stayed composed on Sunday, completing a season-high 75% of passes versus the blitz. Prior to Week 10, Hurts ranked 31st among 33 qualified QBs in completion percentage versus the blitz, connecting on just 53% of his shows. So that's throws, not shows. That's what the numbers tell us, Dan. What does the tape say about Jalen Hurts?
Well, the question about Jalen was, are you going to develop as a pocket passer? There's a play from this week's game that I think answers that question perfectly. Third and 12. Okay, you are going to get a three-man concept. So a comeback, a deep cross, and then the back check downs over the ball. Couple of things that I love about Jalen Hurts now. First of all, when you get to the top of your drop, there's some edge pressure. Jalen Hurts has got to climb the pocket but remain a passer. Find a passing lane, keeping your eyes downfield. He's going to do that and see number one's not there. Okay, their comeback's not there. Keep your eyes downfield and find number two, which is that deep crosser. Beautiful pocket movement. Now let me see a great throw in man-to-man coverage to Dallas Goedert. The back angle is the best because watch as Jalen Hurts climbs the pocket. He actually has to get his shoulders parallel to the line of scrimmage, swipe the ball, flip his hips back perpendicular to get into a throwing position, and again, make a perfect throw. So if you ask the development of a quarterback, it's, well, do you have good pocket mechanics and pocket presence? Yes. Are you keeping your eyes downfield? Yes. Are you able to go through your progressions? Yes. And then can you make the proper throw ball placement-wise? Yes. Jalen Hurts is playing really good football. I think this past Sunday's that one play is the perfect example of asking the question or answering the question, can you develop as a pocket passer? That answer is yes.
Dan, what if I told you Jalen Hurts has the highest QBR in the NFL over the last 3 weeks?
I wouldn't.
It's true. So don't question it. It's a fact.
I'm not shocked by that. I'm surprised, but I'm not shocked.
Me too.
He's playing good
admittedly,
football.
Admittedly, but that's a pretty impressive number.
when you look at acquiring Vaughn and Odell, everybody wants to throw the Super Bowl, stuff like that out. We got to win our 8th football game.
End zone caught, touchdown. George Kittle, the 49ers strike first. Jimmy Ward has 2 interceptions in the first quarter tonight, and that's a pick 6. There's the kind of night it has been for the Los Angeles Rams. Samuel breaking away, touchdown. The 49ers are having their way with the Rams tonight.
So we covered the hiccups on the Rams offense and OBJ's first game with LA, but let's jump into the 49ers offensive game plan last night. What led to the 31-10 win? And the 49ers ran by design on 68% of their plays, their highest rate in the last 20 seasons. That rate went up to 92% on first down. As a result, they had possession for over 39 minutes. Next, San Francisco had a player in motion at the snap 38 times Monday, their most in a game over the last 5 seasons. They ran the ball 33 times on those plays, and they attacked the middle. Jimmy G went 13 of 14 for 161 yards, 2 touchdowns between the numbers, including 5 of 5 to Debo Samuel, who finished the game averaging 11 yards after the catch. It was a game plan that was extremely effective.
Beautiful job by Kyle Shanahan of using Debo Samuel just as a piece to get him away from your best player.
Listen, I know Kyle Shanahan's a great coach, but obviously he was awesome at hide and seek when he was a kid because they couldn't find Debo, but Jimmy Garoppolo could.
That's how you finish it.
Oh, hide and seek. Guys, that used to be my favorite game. Anyone else in here really like hide and seek? All right, let's move on.
Hiding.
Okay, yeah, you do. You're good at it. Marcus, everyone could find you. How about the Cowboys? They got back on track. Week 10, 40-point win over the Falcons. Dak threw for 2 touchdowns. He ran for it. Another one on fourth down in a scramble. This week, the Cowboys have the Chiefs, who seem to have some things figured out, too. So, Marcus, let's start with this Cowboys offense. What did you see, and specifically from Dak Prescott?
Yeah, look, it was a emphasis to get CeeDee Lamb involved in this game and create opportunities for him to have matchups that were one-on-one. And I know we get enamored when guys have big plays, but this screen that went for 18 yards was the beginning of trying to identify how was CeeDee Lamb going to be covered in this football game. They used him all over the field, and you saw the rapport with him and Dak, understanding where each other would be. Listen, rust is real. We saw that last week against the Denver Broncos, and then you come out against the Atlanta Falcons and you have this type of day. But it was emphasis put on that by Kellen Moore. Dak Prescott understood the matchup that he had with CeeDee Lamb all game long, and they were able to capitalize on that against the Falcons.
Of course, it was the Falcons defense. Never in doubt that Dallas would be able to eat. I was actually more intrigued by the other side of the ball in this game, because even without Calvin Ridley, the Atlanta Falcons offense had been cooking the last few weeks. So I was curious to see whether they could bounce back on defense, and they absolutely did. And for me, the star on the defense in this play, in this game, pardon me, aside from Dorrance Armstrong, who played really well up front, was Jordan Lewis, their slot cornerback.
Step
and there were two plays back-to-back. First, this one, it's a pass breakup against Kyle Pitts. Not an easy cover in man coverage on the out. Just getting that hand on there, really impressive. And then this is literally the next play. Matt throws, it's a cross, a little shallow cross here to Russell Gage. Again, Jordan Lewis breaking up the pass. Again, glued to his hip. And this is a theme with the Cowboys defense where every week it's like a new guy steps up and it becomes the main character of the defense. Like some days it's Anthony Brown, some days it's Dorrance Armstrong or Randy Gregory. This was Jordan Lewis. To me, that shows the depth of this defense. And if they're going to make a run, it's going to come down to role players like that stepping up in big situations.
Yeah, we pointed out last week against the Broncos when we talked about it and broke that game down, there was some alignment issues and communication issues. This team has been pretty good on defense when they lined up and ready to play the snap. And when you see this team starting to progress as the season goes along, there's an understanding of what they're being asked to do. Mm-hmm. And I know as a defensive player, Ryan can speak to this as well, it allows you to play fast. Yeah. And you know what playing fast does? It overcomes mistakes. That's what it does. So this team is playing. Everybody is on the same page. They understand where they need to be. And now it's just about playing football. And they got dudes.
Yeah.
Especially one dude, number 11, that can wreck games once he knows his involvement in the play.
It was probably the perfect time to have a game like that, too, for a bounce back standpoint for the Cowboys. They've got to face the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's about to get real again.
They're finding out what they are, too. How about the Titans picking up a big win on Sunday over the Saints? I want to focus in on their final scoring drive. Early fourth quarter, you see Ryan Tannehill with a short pass to Dante Foreman. Takes it 39 yards down to the Saints' 9. Tennessee would end up kicking a field goal. Those 3 points were enough to hold off New Orleans. But let's go back to that big screen pass, Dan. Why was that so successful for this Titans offense?
We talk about the motion use of offenses, and we often reference it to quarterbacks. It's like you get information. I think their offensive line is really smart. There's a difference between operating a screen versus zone and operating screen versus man. Zone, you got to go hunt those guys and get them. Man, you just got to make sure you got vision on them, because a lot of times those guys lose vision and those backers can shoot and the play is over. You got to have vision on them and just let them come to you. Get in the way springs a big play. You
know, right. Defensive perspective, the linebacker did the right thing, turn it in. It's so important for these D-line and interior guys to retrace and try to get to the ball.
So we know you love running the football, but when you think about this Titans offense, without Derrick Henry going forward, is this sustainable for them to continue on?
It absolutely
playing at this
is.
Level?
They have not. They have not gotten away from their identity after the loss of Derrick Henry. They're allowing Ryan Tannehill, obviously, to make plays. A.J. Brown having this impact on this football on this football team. But they still are running the football. I'm so impressed with this offensive line as well with the Tennessee Titans. They're physical. They do a great job on zone blocking schemes. Adrian Peterson came in and had a couple runs of success. But what the most important thing that the Tennessee Titans do from a run game standpoint is they make you stay honest as a defense. They will never give you the impression that we are now becoming a passing team, no matter what the situation is in the game.
You said something on our call to me that I actually, like, it made me stop in my tracks. You said the line of scrimmage is
on both sides for the Tennessee Titans will keep them in every football game.
You said it's reliable.
It's reliable.
Yeah,
just like the New England Patriots.
I think that's a big deal.
Yeah,
like, it's reliable.
Absolutely.
You know their offensive and defensive lines show up every week. I think that's a big deal.
You know what else is really reliable and probably encouraging for Tennessee going forward? ESPN's FPI says that they have the easiest remaining strength of schedule. So they're in, right?
They're in.
They can continue this. All right, how about Cam Newton returning to the Panthers in a huge win over the Cardinals? Superman is back. He had a couple touchdowns in his return. Matt Wool said this week, if he's ready, he can start. Exact Newton quote from the weekend. He said, "I'm just floating at an all-time high frequency. It's almost scary." You hear Swagoo talking about Mina Kimes, and that's because when we came back over here, she's wearing Marcus's glasses.
Nope.
So it turns out, I guess he can see without them. What's the prescription on these?
Hey, hold on.
Apparently not that strong.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
apparently it's to make people think he wears glasses, and it just makes him smarter, swaggier, and cooler.
Oh, so y'all choose this when I'm off the set.
They actually.
You're about to hear why I'm wearing them. Let's talk.
Oh, okay. Well, they actually match your outfit. So, Mina, how do you expect the Panthers to use Cam Newton going forward, assuming that he will be the starter?
Right.
Give me my glasses.
Look, hold on. I'm about to give him back to you 1 second. We didn't learn a lot about Cam Newton in his first outing. Obviously, he didn't do that much. I mean, it was cool as hell. I got chills watching him scream on back. But we didn't learn a lot about him as a passer, obviously. And I don't know what he's going to look like as a passer.
Mm-hmm.
I did learn that he can still move.
Yeah.
Frankly, on that first touchdown, the keeper, he should have been tackled.
Right.
But he is still as strong and fast as ever. And to me, that's going to factor heavily into the Panthers' offense. If I'm Joe Brady, you actually have already had a little bit of a design quarterback run element with Sam Darnold, kind of humorously enough, earlier in the season. Now you upgrade in a huge way. This is going to help the Panthers' run game, Marcus.
Hey.
And that's why I'm wearing these glasses.
I knew
we were
getting to it.
You know who's happy about that? Christian McCaffrey.
All right, well, let's return the glasses. You get out of here.
I'm leaving. This is
awkward. RC's time. It really wasn't awkward. It was fun.
It was.
It's that time of year where we make fun of Marcus
it's for blue
not
light
having
too,
a
y'all,
prescription.
By the way.
Blue light. Go
just
ahead.
To protect his
well,
eyes.
When you think about Christian McCaffrey, here's my image of Christian McCaffrey. After Cam Newton scored, Christian McCaffrey lost all of his cool. This man is a multimillionaire.
He really did.
He grew up.
He really
this
did.
Man grew up in locker rooms,
he's
and Cam Newton scored, and he went. That was the energy level of this team watching Cam Newton score.
Get that beanie weenie.
Christian McCaffrey, a dude that like plays instruments and is in bands and stuff. He lost every piece of cool he's ever had after Cam Newton scored that touchdown. That was a great job by Joe Brady, Matt Rule.
being very specific about how they use them and when they use them. Now, this is not what you're going to ask of Cam Newton going forward. We saw a ton of P.J. Walker in this game. P.J. Walker was the primary passer. P.J. Walker was the primary quarterback. Cam Newton was basically Taysom Hill. There's a different level of execution you're going to need from him if he becomes the starter of this team coming into this week. I think P.J. Walker should still be a part of it.
Jeffrey also was said, I've just never been around a quarterback like Cam. And I was like, I really hope Sam Darnold's not listed too.
But that's true, though.
Sam Darnold, I know.
No, his aura, it's real.
It's true. It's a different – Cam Newton wasn't the right quarterback for 31 other teams. Hmm. He was the perfect quarterback for this situation, and you saw that on those plays.
You guys feel that way about me?
We feel that you are the wrong quarterback for every situation.
I wish you guys stopped talking over there as we're working.
Yeah, can you guys keep it down, the peanut gallery?
All right.
So maybe you heard it here first a little bit. I will say this, Dan. You saw it on the screen there. When you made your first proclamation, the Patriots had just a 17% chance to even make the playoffs. But
doing this for him.
Here's the thing, because I'm not going to him right now. Laura. I'm going to you first.
Geniuses are very underappreciated.
To be clear, our reaction was about the Colts going far.
Yeah,
it was. It was. We all kind of agreed on the Patriots. But whatever. Drama makes good TV.
You're not going to use us to do it. Like,
yeah.
Mina,
I've always been high on the Patriots. Right.
Let's focus on this Patriots defense, though. Is that a Super Bowl caliber unit?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. They're a top five defense in the NFL, and it's for the same reason that they so often are, which is there's no better coach in the history of the league, but right now as well, at tailoring his defense, not only to each matchup after week, but the skills of his personnel. Yep. Than Bill freaking Belichick. Talking about a defense that comes into this season and early on plays a ton of man as the season progresses. You know, they lose Stephon Gilmore. Of course, he never played. And then Jonathan Jones. Increasingly, they play more zone, pardon me. They play it well. Against a team like the Chargers, they play light. Against a team like the Browns, they go heavy. I mean, they do this all the time. Like, are we supposed to be surprised by the fact that Bill Belichick is the most adaptable coach in the NFL? I do want to say, to the personnel point, Matt Judon, old red sleeves, is the best signing of free agency.
Old red sleeves.
We do not talk about him enough on old this show. He is absolutely crushing it for him. And so when we talk about the Patriots having a Super Bowl caliber defense, it starts with Matt Judon for me.
One of the greatest rappers of all time made a song called Y'all Must Have Forgot. His name was Roy Jones Jr.
Go.
Hey, buddy, and I only say that to say, you know, I think COVID year, like, we must have forgot. You look at what they were able to do in the offseason. Stop, y'all. I'm trying to talk. You look at what they were able to do in the offseason. Mina mentioned Matthew Judon, but also getting some of those guys back off of the COVID opt-out list, right? Mm. You add Jalen Mills, who isn't a great piece on the outside, but has played well enough. Kyle Duggar is a dude you get from Lenore Ryan. Never heard of it. Never seen it. Didn't know they played football. But he's an intricate chess piece into what they've done at this position, where sometimes he's the dime backer, sometimes he's the strong safety. He can also play deep. He's been one of those dudes that he's maneuvered around week to week.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick has put this team in a position to succeed defensively, and now the offense is coming along as well. That's why you see those.
That's the thing. The offense kind of feeds off the defense because the defense is so good, the offense never has to chase points.
Yeah.
Right? The offense can strictly be about, we're going to operate versus a certain defense. We're going to call plays for a certain situation. You never chase points given what the scoreboard is. You're never trying to feel like, well, the scoreboard is going to dictate something, or I got to get out of my game plan because what the scoreboard is, or I got to get out of what our philosophy is because of what the scoreboard.
Yep.
This offense has four drives this year of 15-plus plays or more. Four. There's only one team in the NFL with more, and that's Kansas City, and they got five, right? Huh. So that's why this offense can be so kind of methodical in the way they operate, because they're never chasing points because the defense is so good.
My notes, literally. Great complimentary football team.
Yeah.
And coming out of the draft, this is why I thought this was the best place for Mac Jones. What does Alabama do? They play complimentary football. That's like the staple of Nick Saban and what he coaches and how he coaches his football teams. We are going to allow them to make mistakes before we do.
Yeah.
All right? And from a defensive perspective, to your point, Mina, with Judon, this is one thing that's always stood the test of time, and you two know this. It ain't about the names in New England.
Sure. Yeah.
Do you fit my defense?
That's real.
Do you fit what I'm doing as a defensive coordinator? And when people see these names, like you mentioned Duggar, and we had team. I remember
Van Noy.
Van Noy.
Can't play nowhere else. But right. Van Noy can't play nowhere.
Devon Godchaw. Godchaw that they took from Miami. Right. This is identifying personnel, and that's what Bill Belichick has been tremendous at defensively.
I will ask this though, Mina. What if someone really does challenge this Patriots team, throws them off their game, doesn't let them do these things that they've done so well? What do you think?
Lynn Mills twice in December, once on Monday Night Football. Check it out on ESPN.
Whoop,
and
ESPN.
I think that is going to be a really telling matchup. I also think, however, you know how we've been seeing these AFC teams get embarrassed and shocked? I don't think that's going to happen in New England. Like, they have a higher floor. Maybe the ceiling's not as high as the Chiefs, but the floor is higher.
All right, one more thing before we go. We got time
we
for
done?
This. The Mannings. I know, it's sad.
In
the Mannings
2 hours.
Had Phil Mickelson on as a guest last night. He critiqued Eli's swing. Listen to this.
We've been analyzing football. Your chance to analyze Eli's swing. Tell us about it.
All right, let's see. Well, I mean, overall, one word to describe it is cute. I think it's a cute little swing. The club is a little behind him and low going back, so he's not able to get – his arms aren't out in front of him. They get a little bit too flat. So he has to use all of his athleticism to square the face. It's a pretty good golf swing. Like I say, it's cute.
It's cute. I don't know. I've never been a man, but, like, being called cute is not probably the best.
It's an assault.
Yeah. You've never been a man. Yeah.
Not in this lifetime. I don't know about.
I love being called cute.
Yeah.
Internet, so call cute. Me cute.
Okay, speaking of cute, there was a really cute moment on our show earlier when Mina Kimes tried on Marcus's glasses. Who wore it best, guys?
This is new meme.
That's a good look.
I look so
intelligent. That's a good look for you, Mina.
Mina, you actually didn't look smart until you put those on.
I was thinking about running the ball.
Smarter.
We'll see you tomorrow.